Yeah. All right, today we're going to pick it up at the beginning of the fifth reading, middle of the third chapter of Bamidbar, verse 14. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe. God speaks to Moshe, Bamidbar Sinai, in the Sinai desert, Lamer, saying, why are we emphasizing that God is speaking to Moshe Bamidbar Sinai, besides the fact that the book began this way? And we don't know if the Jewish people haven't gone elsewhere. Why do you have to emphasize the notion that it's Bamidbar Sinai? So Ramban says, yesterday we learned that there was a day of Biyom Diber Hashem. Biyom Diber Hashem as Moshe Bar Sinai, on the day that God spoke to Moshe. It was something about that day. It was Matan Torah emphasis. He says, this is not already Matan Torah. Now we're talking about a year later. Why? Because the selection of Aaron's sons as being Kohanim, that came indeed Bahar Sinai. However, the Ramban says, the idea that the Levites would now be brought into the service of Hashem, this is something that is only told to Moshe Rabbeinu Bamidbar Sinai, not Bahar Sinai, not on the day of Matan Torah, but many, many months later. Verse 15, P'koid es b'nei Levi, count the children of Levi, Labeis Avosam, by their father's homes, Lemishbechesam, according to their familiar formations, Kol Zochar, mi ben chedesh v'malo, every male baby from the time of a month and older, age of a month and older, Tifkidem, they should be counted. This sounds very strange to us. Why are you counting babies? What could babies do? Who cares how many babies there are? How will having babies counted make a difference to anybody? So the Abarbanel takes a very straightforward position. He says, later on, the Torah is going to talk about the firstborns having to undergo the original Pidyon HaBen. But the original Pidyon HaBen was not with babies, because the Bechorim were supposed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. They lost their privileges of Matan Torah. Now the Levites are being selected to replace them. So it was a Levite corresponding to a firstborn. And then there was a certain amount of firstborns left over, and they actually had to pay the five shloim. And how did we know which firstborn should pay? Every firstborn would say, one of the Levites is in my lieu, is in my stead. So we had lots, and they chose lots. And whoever got a paper that said Levi, he was exempt. And whoever got one that said Pidyon, he knew he had to go and redeem himself. So Abarbanel says, whenever we talk about money, we have to be very, very careful and give a clear accounting. And that's why nobody should be suspectful of Moshe, that he counts Levites in one way or another way. He's trying to exempt, exonerate, or maybe to obligate people to pay money. No, no such thing. This is straight from Hashem. And precisely because there's a question of monetary issues involved over here, that's why we have to be extra careful about giving a very, very lucid and clear accounting. Okay, that's a very, very pashtistic way. It really doesn't explain the emphasis of Ben Shleshim Chedesh V'malo. I mean, to some degree it does, because as long as the Levite was 30 days, already could be an exchange. But nonetheless, that's the very pashtistic way of looking at it. And the Rashbam follows in this path also. He says, these are the babies who are going to replace the Bechorim. And because they're going to replace the Bechorim, and because the Levites were going to be effective from the time of 30 days and older, so that's why we have to have this accounting. Rashi, however, takes a totally different approach to this. Let's take a look inside. Rashi says, verse 15, Mi ben chedesh v'malo, why from 30 days? Why not from 30 minutes, once the baby's born? Says Rashi, Mishe yotzo miklal nefalim. Because up until 30 days, the baby's life is still very tenuous. And God forbid, something could happen to the baby in those early weeks. The baby's life is not really solid, it's not really established until 30 days go by. Which incidentally, I found out many years ago the hard way, is actually the scientific approach today also. Up till 30 days, a baby goes straight into ICU if anything goes wrong. After 30 days, they relax. Because one of my children had a very bad cold at 30, it was 28 days, and they did extraordinary precautions. And they said to me, if you had Bitterman 3 days later, after 30 days, they wouldn't have treated it this way. At any rate, this idea of mi ben chaydesh v'malo is mi shiyotso miklal nefalim. Hu nimna. That's when he starts to get counted. And Rashi says a very strange thing. Likore, that they should be called shomer mishmeres hakodesh, the ones who are watching or keeping the holy watch. A baby, 30 days old, he's keeping a holy watch. Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Shalom. Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Shalom says, Lomod hu oyse ha-shevet li-yes nimnem min ha-beten. This tribe is used to, it's accustomed to getting counted from the womb. Rashi doesn't say from the time of birth, it's from the womb. From the womb, he says, they counted from the womb. How do we know this? Shenemar, because it says that the wife of Amram was Yecheved, Bas Levi, and the Torah says, Asher, Yolda Oisa LeLevi b'Mitzayim, who gave birth to her in the land of Egypt. What does it mean that it was born b'Mitzayim? Im knisasa b'Pesach Mitzrayim, entering the door, so to speak, going through customs, going through the border control, that's where the baby was born, just upon entering the land of Egypt. Ve'nimneis b'shivim nafesh, she is included then in the 70 souls. She completes the number of 70, because we said there was the children of Yaakov, v'shivim nafesh, was 70 souls, and she, Yecheved, was the 70th. And when was she born? Just as he entered the land. Now, Rashi says, the reason this we're so certain of this, when you count the number of all the different tribes and their progeny, you will only find 69 names mentioned. 70, but there's one missing. And the Torah says 70. So what's the only solution? The only solution is, since the Torah later on mentions Yecheved by name, and since the Torah later on says that she was born to Levi b'Mitzrayim, so Heshlima as a minyan, that she completed the number, even though her name is not mentioned in the original counting. The original counting comes up short, because she was the one who finishes off the counting of 70. She was Bas Levi, daughter of Levi. And we see here that the Levites are counted min ha-beten. Now this explanation of Rashi demands elucidation for many, many reasons. Not the smallest amongst the reasons is, here we're talking about ben chodesh. Here we're talking about from the day of a month. And yet, over there, we're talking about the moment she was born. She was counted within hours or minutes of her birth, number one. Number two, why does Rashi have to use this strange verbiage, which, as you'll see, he deviates from the actual language of our sages in the Medrash Tanchuma. So the Rebbe is going to analyze this, and he's going to give us a beautiful and clear understanding of what exactly was the purpose of counting Levites, and what purpose did they serve, and how we could call them Shomrei Mishmeres HaKodesh, those who are engaged in the Holy Watch. Page Lamed Dalet in the Biurim book, Simen Yutes. Divrei Rashi, Drushim Biur. The words of Rashi require elucidation. Number one, L'shem ma madgish Rashi, why would he emphasize, quote, Mishiyotza meklal nefalim, once you go out of being a possible nephil, a nephil is a terminology used, Chaman al-San, to describe a baby who dies. So whether a baby dies in a minute of his death, of his birth, or in a week of his birth, or 3 weeks after his birth, up until the 30th day, he's called a nephil. There's actually a special halachas. There's no shiva, there's no kaddish. It's not considered a viable life. So the viable life is only after 30 days.
Even after a bris?
Even after a bris, 100%. So who nimna, Rashi says, he nimna, he's counted. Now, if I was Rashi, I would have stopped it right here. Mishiyotze b'klal nefalim, who nimna? From after Klal Nefalim, once we know it's a viable life, he's counted. Rashi doesn't stop there. He says, "Unimne likare shayim mishmeres hakodesh." We should call him a member of the Holy Watch. He's a baby. What could he do? Can't serve any function, any purpose. Madua Choshuv, why is it even important or relevant, Letzayin Kanas HaTorah, to bring a title here, Hamiduyuk, exact, specific title, Likore. Likore means he should be called. This is his exact title. It's not a euphemism. This is the name he gets. This is the description of who he is. What are we calling him? Shomer Mishmeres HaKodesh. What is the purpose of saying that? This is this toyar, this title, which is Ma'unak Mishpachta Mifkad, to the families who are counted. So the families who are counted, the Levite tribes who are going to be involved in doing their holy, sacred task of putting up the Mishkan, taking down the Mishkan, carrying the Mishkan, and so on and so forth, they're called Shomrei Mishmeres HaKodesh. I understand? Their job is the Holy Watch. Their job is the Mishkan. Some babies. What could babies do? That's question one. And question two, Madua Mishana Rashi Milshoin Ma'amorai HaMekoiri Shrab Yehuda B'Rabbi Shalom. Why does Rashi change from the original teaching of this great sage the way it is actually recorded in the Medrash? In both the Medrash Tanchuma as well as the Medrash Rabbah. And in both of those instances, it says, Lomod hu hashevet hazeh, this tribe is accustomed, liyes HaKadosh Baruch Hu moina isay ad shehin ketanim, that God counts them even when they're very small. So usually we count people when they are majors, reach the age of majority, they're 20 years old and so on and so forth, they're prepared for military conscription and they can go into battle. And here we count them when they're small. We count children. That's what we should say. We count children. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say we count Ad Shehem Ketanim, which is actually the language of the Medrash, in both places. Instead, Rashi is naked b'makim zeis. He chooses instead Bitoy HaCharig, the unusual, exceptional term, Liyeis Nimnem in HaBeten, counted from the stomach, which actually sounds like pre-birth. Because from the stomach, it doesn't say min haleida, it doesn't say from birth, it's min haBeten. Min haBeten means when the baby is still in gestation, when the baby is still in the womb. The explanation to both of these questions, why we would call a baby Shemri Meshmeres HaKodesh, and why we have to emphasize that he's counted min haBeten, from the womb. Hatzivoy Pekoides Bnei Levi, this commandment, count the children of Levi. Vabehemshech LaParsha HaYisekes, this comes as a continuation of the Parsha that deals B'tafkidim Shel HaLeviim B'Avodas HaMishkan, the purpose of the Levites in the Mishkan, which we studied about 2 days ago. Mashmos HaDvarim, the intimation is that this counting is connected to that. Because first we talked about the job the Levites are going to do and where the Levites are going to encamp and how through their encampment they encircle and ultimately protect the Mishkan compound. And now, clearly, this counting is related to that task, to being Shomer Mishmeres HaKodesh, which in and of itself provokes an incredible question. Hadavar Ma'irer Tmiya. This makes you ask, what? In amazement, in wonderment. Ketzad im kein, how so then, if the counting is connected to an actual job of protecting a migdash, a mishkan, then what are you counting children for? Ben chedesh umayla? Mala tinik ben chedesh. What can a child a month old do insofar as avedis a mishkan? What's he going to schlep boards? Remove hooks? He's going to pull out the pegs? What is a baby going to do? The answer is nothing. Well, if he's not going to do anything, and this counting is about doing those things, why would he even include it?
It's a census.
It's a census with a purpose. The census of the Jewish people of regular Bnei Yisrael was from age of 20 to 60. What was the census taken for? For military conscription. That they conquered the land of Israel. And now why are we taking an accounting, a census of the Levites? Because the Levites have a job also. Not to go to war. A job to protect the Holy Watch, to protect the Mishkan. What's a baby going to do? What could a baby do? And the emphasis is this counting is connected. This census taking is connected to that mission, to that mandate. A baby can't do anything. Rashi answers this question. And he says, Mishiyotze Meklal Nefolim. Once he goes out of the period of being a baby, the Nimne Likare, he can already be called Shomer Mishmeres HaKodesh, which in and of itself He still has the question. Why is he called Shem Rebbe Shemeres HaKedesh? Rashi says, no, I know your question. You're saying that this counting is connected to the job and the task of Shem Rebbe Shemeres HaKedesh. So let me have you know that the counting of the baby from 30 days and onward is Likore, so that he could be called Shem Rebbe Shemeres HaKedesh. So the kind of question is, what does that mean? How could the baby be Shem Rebbe Shemeres HaKedesh? It's a baby. So Rashi explains, the Rebbe explains. Mishmeres HaKedesh, the Holy Watch, Yatafkid HaMutla Al-Alvim. This is the special job, the special mission and mandate that was given to the Levites. What is their calling? Lishmer Al HaMishkan. First and foremost, the way the Torah described it, we learned this together several days ago, is Lishmer, to protect Al HaMishkan. Protect the Mishkan from who? From monsters? Who are you protecting the Mishkan from? From attackers? There was a cloud of glory that ring the Jewish people. They were protected. And the answer is, Mipnei Knisosim Shel Zorim. We don't want strangers coming in there, because strangers don't belong in the Mishkan. Strangers means somebody who's not specifically tasked with coming into the Mishkan. Tafkid, a purpose, Shekiyumehu Ben Ashar, which is accomplished, amongst other things, Al Yedei Migureihem Shel Halavim, with the Levites camping. We learned about this 2 days ago, remember? The Levites were camping. And if the Levites would camp in their area, what would happen? The Israelites would not get mixed with the Levites. If the Israelites would not be mixed with the Levites, what would happen? Then the sacred scrimmage of the temple, of the tabernacle, would be protected. In other words, the Levites actually protected the Mishkan, not protecting it from enemies, from attackers, from people unwittingly going in there. The Mishkan was protected by the actual physical presence of the Levites. This is Levite country. And besaviv leMishkan, they were around the Mishkan kichatzitza, as if some kind of interruption, some kind of barrier, a human barrier, bein haMishkan leMachne Yisrael, between the Mishkan and the camp of Israel. Ukilash and Akosov, like the language of the Pasuk we just read together a few days ago, V'alavim yachanu saviv leMishkan ha'edus. The Levites will encamp around and around the Mishkan of testimony. And what will happen then? V'shomru halavim es mismeres Mishkan ha'edus. And in doing so, in encamping, just being there, they will serve as a protection, a protective wall, if you will, ringed by a protective barrier between the Mishkan, between the rest of the people. So now, Lefiza Nimtza, from this perspective, all of a sudden, we now start to understand, Shagam Tinuk Ben Chedesh, that even a child who's just a month old, Mishtatef Ba'avedus Shemidus HaMishkan, he's also part of it. Why is he part of it? What do you mean he's part of it? He also takes up space. The boys take up space. You shouldn't be able to go through one area to the other. This is Levite country. So the baby's bedroom, the baby's crib is there. You can't walk through. He's taking up space too. Valkein hu zakai leikore shem Rebbe Shemeres HaKedesh. That's why he's called a member of the Holy Watch. Because the member of the Holy Watch, on some level, doesn't even have to do anything. What does he have to do? He has to be there. He has to watch. He has to be there. That's the original, to be or not to be. And the answer is, to be. To be what? Nothing. To be. To be. What's he doing? He's there. He's protecting. The fact that he's there means somebody else can't be there. He's filling the space. He fills the space, and there are people hovering around him. That in and of itself serves as a barrier between Machne Yisrael, the Israelite camp, and Machne Shechina. It's in the sacred scrimmage. It's a no-brainer. So what's the problem? There's one problem left. Still does not make so much sense. But the last problem is, the baby is not watching or guarding anything on his own. So the baby decided, okay, I'm going to live here, and by me living here, I will take up space. I will be a barrier. I will ultimately bring about a protective ring. It's only just because the baby's connected to his mother. So because the baby's connected to his mother, in other words, the mother comes along with the baby. Mother comes with the baby. So for example, there's a whole issues in the airline. You know, there was a whole business a few weeks ago through the throw people off the plane. There's this business that the baby comes with the mother. Baby doesn't fly without the mother. Mother doesn't fly without the baby. It's considered to be, so is that one seat? Or is that two seats? You have to book a seat and put in a baby seat. Or does the baby sit in the mother's, or held in the mother's hands? How do we do it? Mother and baby come together. In the language of Barbie, it's an accessory. If you buy the Barbie, you get the accessory. I don't know if Barbie comes with a baby, but it comes together.
American girl.
Huh? Sorry, American girl. I'm old-fashioned. So the point is, the baby's not a shomer. He's not a guard on his own. Yes, he provides a protective layer, no question. But he only provides a protective layer because his mother schleps him along. It's because his mother's there. That she's a nursing mother, so automatically has a baby too.
The whole thing here, we can consider that the babies are the guarantee of the Jewish people, and that's the Mishnah.
No. We're not talking about, then it would be all Jewish people. We're not talking about, this is a very functional census. This is not about spiritual things. This is not about guarantors of the people. This was, for the Israelites, a very functional, practical census. We got to go to war. We're not taking kids to war. Judaism doesn't believe in taking children to war until you're 20 year old child. A teenager is an overgrown child. Doesn't happen. Once you're 20, you enter the age of real majority. Yes, you're responsible to the mitzvahs at the age of 13, if you're a girl, 12. However, real majority comes at 20. At least for a boy, for sure, it comes at 20. Not sooner. So it's a practical census taking. It's not a philosophical thing. It's not a religious thing. It's practical. And here also with the Levite, it's practical. So what was your answer? Our answer was, Rashi's teaching us that the Levites protected the Mishkan with their very being. So babies also protected the Mishkan. They're also being. They also take up space. But the Rebbe's question then is, doesn't get counted on his own. He's only counted along with his mother. So if so, why does he get to be counted on his own? So why, the question returns, does he get included in the count? And the answer is, to explain this, Rashi actually quotes the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Shalom, which is, that tribe is accustomed to be counted from the womb, from the stomach. As she entered the gates, the borders of Mitzrayim, counted 70 souls. In other words, if the count would only begin with birth, not before, meaning Yocheved would not be counted when she was in a gestational state within her mother, then you could not count her as one of the 70 souls coming into Egypt, because she didn't coming. She's not part of coming into Egypt. She is in Egypt. She came. She is in Egypt. She didn't come into Egypt. She was born in Egypt. She didn't start her journey outside of Egypt. So the simple way everybody learns that Rashi is lamed mi beten means counted from birth. But that doesn't make any sense, because then it should say lamed min haleda. It should have said counted from birth. It says min habeten. It says from the womb. But if we are to say that the Levite can be considered an entity unto himself, even when the Levite is still in a gestational state, even the Levite is not born yet, already then he takes up space. And that space is considered independent, not subsumed into the reality of the mother. She didn't come into Egypt. She was born in Egypt. Entering the borders in customs. Since we do consider she is part of the count of going into Mitzrayim, then this clearly proves to us that she is nimnasa min habeten. She was counted when she came into Mitzrayim. How did she come into Mitzrayim? Where was she when she came into Mitzrayim? She was in her mother's womb. She was in her mother's stomach. That's where she was. This then is the intention of Rashi. This shevet is counted from the stomach. That means the fact that Yechevet was counted not from birth, but from even before birth. We don't have such a thing. You're not an independent entity. You just subsumed the reality of the mother. But when it came to Levi, it was different. She has no independent reality. Whenever the mother eats, she eats. Mother sleeps, she sleeps. Her whole entire existence hinges on the mother's existence. Nonetheless, The fact she was counted, Masbira, this explains Hishtatfusa Shaltinik ben Levi, how a Levite, a baby Levite, can be counted in the count of Shemir Mishmeres HaKadosh. In other words, you want to tell me that the baby's reality, the existence of the baby, protects the Mishkan? Fine. But why are you counting him? Count as mother. Along with the mother comes the baby. The question is not just if the baby could serve a purpose. The question is, how could you count the baby on his own? He is, after all, not Atzma'i, is not independent. And the answer is, because that's how that tribe works. That tribe's unique reality. They get counted yet when they're still in a gestational state. Even though the fact that he is providing some kind of protective layer is not by dint of his own existence. It's only the result of, because he's connected to his mother. Nonetheless, he's still counted. Maybe we should end off by reminding everybody that the Rambam says that it's not only Shevet Levi, the oldest thing to read about Shevet Levi, ultimately, that they have to apply to all of us. And therefore, even if you're somewhere, only bezchut somebody else, you're only there, you're on somebody else's coattail, so to speak. Nonetheless, every one of us still has a sacred purpose of Shemre Mishmeres HaKadosh. There's a holy watch. There's work to be done. And if we devote ourselves, even sometimes just being there, sometimes just existing, and even if you're existing there because somebody else brought you there, nonetheless, you can protect holiness and make a real difference.